What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
It is now 2023. 2023, last time I spoke to my co-host here on Pucks in 7 was last year. Seems like a long time. You ever said that to someone? Hey, last time I saw you was last year. I know it was like 3 days ago.
But I haven't had an alcoholic drink since last year. That's all I can say right now.
You know what? I like that. Yeah. We've eaten well. We've taken care of our bodies.
Oh, I had lasagna for breakfast. I need this holiday session to end now. I need to get back to proper nutrition and food and digestible items because it's been a little ridiculous. Yummy, but ridiculous.
I think we speak for the masses. We really do. This is Pucks in 7. Happy New Year, everybody. 2023, 2022 is gone, and we're back at it now. First edition of the brand new year. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. You can follow us on Twitter. I'll get all this out as I always do in the beginning. At Ryan Payne 75, at Victoria Matiash. Vic does great work, ESPN.com, fantasy NHL side of things. We'll dive into that as we always do, fantasy in 7, to conclude the program today. She also works for a major news talk station in Toronto. I do a lot of work for SiriusXM, specifically NHL Network Radio, hosting a show on the weekend, Channel 91. And you can follow us wherever you get your podcasts, iHeart, Radio, Spotify, Amazon, Google, Apple, the SiriusXM app as well, Stitcher, and Pandora. I think I got all that in.
Do what I do and just Google us and find whatever comes up and listen to it there.
I should just say that. You know what? And we're looking at each other. I wrote all this down. So from now on, I'm just going to say, just Google us. So just Google us, Pucks in 7. You'll find us. Anyway, coming up in the show, like we always do, a little bit different. This one, to begin the new year, we're going to look back to the calendar year of 2022. Some amazing storylines. I mean, every time you finish up a year in the NHL, calendar or season, incredible storylines to go back to, which we'll do. We'll look ahead to the week that was, or back to the week that was. Also, the week to come, and Fantasy 7. But in between, Vic, we have a brand new segment.
We're going to shelve dropping the clink hammer because right. it's a new year. So the clink hammer is going to sit in the closet. Just keep things a little bit more positive.
Yes, and I'm going to preface before we even get to the segment that I may have trouble getting through the beginning of the segment just because of what it is. So I'll leave it at that. People, stick around. You won't want to miss it. We honor another player like we did with Clinkhammer, Robert Clinkhammer. We honor somebody else, which we'll get to in a second. Anyway, 2022. So take your pick, right? So many different storylines. Let's begin with the team, the best team that ended up winning the Stanley Cup, the Colorado Avalanche. Amazing story with them because they came from, remember when they had 48 points a number of years back? Not too long ago.
But we forget though, right?
Yeah.
Because once they start playing good hockey, you're like, now it feels like 1,000 years ago. But that drive was really fun to watch. Watching Nathan MacKinnon win one because you know how much it meant to him. It means something to all players. I think it means a little bit more to him than it does to others. And then, of course, also watching Nazem Kadri host the cup after everything he had been through with the Leafs. And just that particular offseason with the nonsense he had to deal with coming out of St. Louis from some St. Louis fans and all the rest of it. And I think it really matters. There's a lot of hockey fans out there, especially kids, that don't look like Sidney Crosby. They don't look like Connor McDavid. They look like Nazem Kadri. Their parents are immigrants from the Middle East or somewhere else in the world. And to see, it's the whole, if you see it, you can be it. And I think it was really important for everyone that we saw somebody who looks like Nazem Kadri and comes from where his parents come from, hoist a cup, and now it's a reasonable thing that any kid can accomplish, not just the Sidney Crosbys of the world.
That's very well said. It really is, because when he did that and he got to that point and he hoisted that cup, number one, the elation on his face, like all the members of the Avalanche, but for him, it's just, all right, here we go. There's so many others on his back. So well said. It was an amazing moment. And, you know, you look at the Avalanche too, I thought, the playoff success or lack thereof, this team's been very good for a number of years. It's been very good. So you lose in the first round in 2018, and then you're knocked out in the second round in 19, 20, and 21. I thought they were the best team. I really did in the bubble season or whatever it was. I can't quite recall, but I thought they were the best team. Injuries, I think, hampered them, but I thought they should have won the Stanley Cup. But last year, to me, from the get-go, hands down to me, they were the best team in the NHL. And you love the upset in sports. A lot of people do. It makes a great story.
Or your Cinderella stories, you mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When you have a team that for most people believe that at, you know, in September, when you make those picks, we think Colorado is going to go all the way. And then they do. It kind of makes some sense with that. So good on the Avalanche, but yeah, I'm with you with that. They were, it was an amazing run. Also too, it was neat to see Eric Johnson and all the players that had been there before. And you make a good point too, when you said that everybody forgets about the 48 point thing. I remember that side note quickly, and then we'll move on. I remember when, halfway through the season or at the end when they had 48 points and I thought Jared Bednar is going to get fired. I admire Joe Sakic. A lot
very
of GMs, I think,
man.
At that. Yeah. A lot of GMs at that time would have said, you know what? We may not be the team, but I don't think he's the guy, but he stuck with him. And now look at them.
No, they're in good shape now. Also, the very last note on that, probably helpful that Nazem Kadri didn't get himself suspended. I don't think it's a coincidence that right. They finally managed to win the whole thing because he actually was able to play. Because he didn't get himself into trouble. So, and I think that was important too for Kadri to close the book on that, prove to everybody he's mature. He can be a great teammate. And in addition to all of his skill and whatever else that he brings to the ice. So I thought that was important as well.
Very important too with the Avalanche is Cale Makar. He has turned into very quickly one of, I'm not going to say the best defenseman, but one of the best defensemen.
Top three, no question.
Top three, no question. And again, you look back, said this too about the Avalanche, that when Darcy Kemper was, you know, he won the cup. I don't think Darcy Kemper made that big of a difference. I really don't, because the Avalanche in front of them were just so good. I know that he had a good season, all that stuff. I get it. He's a good goalie. Fine. But my point is the Avalanche did not need to rely on him a lot of times over the course of the year and also in the playoffs in order to win that Stanley Cup.
He had to be fine enough. And he did his job and he was fine enough. And yeah. Now we're seeing him do a fine enough job in Washington again. So he's proving that he is that middle of the road. You can rely on him. He was very good in Arizona, by the way. So I don't think Darcy Kemper is a bad goaltender by any extent of the imagination.
No.
But it's
right.
One of those, it's like those teams in the NFL that are built as defensive powerhouses. You just need the quarterback to be okay. He needs to complete 14 passes and then they can charge ahead because they have all these other elements to their game. And I think that's how he fit in there. But it was definitely Cale Makar's coming out party for sure. He went from being this kid that we thought was going to be pretty good to a bona fide superstar, and it happened in a very short period of time.
And in the sky's the limit for him. He's in this. He's
just
this
getting
era.
Going. He's better all the time. I watch him. He's getting better all the time, and yeah. I don't even know how.
So, some of the goals that he scored too, which were just like McDavid like kind of thing that he does, and he makes it look so easy. I'm with you with that. He's getting better every single game, every single month or week or day.
Oh, he's on the verge of breaking opposing defensemen's ankles with like moves constantly, yeah. Almost every game. It's just the way that he can move the puck around in the offensive zone in particular is really super impressive. So he's going to be fun to watch for a very, very long time.
So too is Auston Matthews. So 2022.
Yeah, he's finished good too. I've heard about him.
Yeah, you heard about him? Mm-hmm. In the calendar year of 2022, he had 115 points, 58 goals, 57 assists, 115. But that's not just the 21-22 season when he hit the 60 mark. Anytime you get 40, great. 50, 60, magical. Above that, we can talk about McDavid just a bit too in the podcast, which we will. But it was fun to see. Anybody getting 60 is magical, and that was a great moment.
And he also got 51. I think we forget this because it happened in the second half of the season as the season was concluding. Because if it happened at the beginning, but he didn't even get to start the season because he was rehabbing.
Right.
But if it happened at the beginning, we would have been talking about it all the time. But because it happened later, 51 goals in 50 games. And I don't think that quite got the credit it deserved because that's an outstanding stat. But just because it happened by the 72nd game of the season instead of at the beginning, I don't think it quite got enough credit. And then you have his teammate, Mitchell Marner, and this one blows my mind. So again, we're doing calendar year stuff. We're looking back to what has happened since last January 1st. Since last January 1st, in a calendar year, Mitch Marner played 85 games. So that's almost, it's just a little bit more than a regular season, right?
Yep, 85
games. Yep. 118 points. 118 points in 85 games since last January 1st. We're not counting the playoffs. He had 8-7, so he didn't stink. But in the regular season, I think that's outstanding. And it is. It's actually fourth best. So
I forgot about that. That and maybe it's because the McDavids and Matthews with the 60 and all that, but Mitch, wow, that's something. And then we know what he did too this year with that incredible point streak.
The 23-game point streak was really fun too, yeah.
And the Leafs, I mean, the Leafs are going to go as far as guys like him and Matthews will take them. And the whole discussion, yeah, first round, all this nonsense, they can't get out of it, whatever. We're in the era where we can honor and look at these amazing players, which we have in Marner and Matthews. I said this when Matthews got the 60 and 72. I said 0 to 60 and 72. You know, the 0 to 60, whatever,
right.
5-6 miles an hour, that type of stuff. Anyway, that was an amazing run. I don't know if we're going to see a 60 for a little bit. I'll be honest with you. What do you think, quickly?
Oh boy, this season.
I know
season?
I threw this at you.
No, I'm not sure. You know what? I'm not sure. Are we talking maybe McDavid might do it? But you know what? Let's leave that. Because we're going to do some more McDavid stuff later. So let's leave that for now. And then we can dive back into seeing if maybe 60 this year is possible.
There's one team that you and I have talked about for most of the podcasts we've done, especially the last few, the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
We've talked about them and we've said, okay, hold on a second. There's one team in the Sunshine State that is playing better hockey and it's Tampa. There's another team that we're waiting on in order to show us that this is the same team that won the President's Trophy a season ago. I've said this all the time about President's Trophy winning teams, and it's very rare, Vic, as you know this, when you're the top team in the league after 82 games, that does not necessarily mean that you're going to win the Stanley Cup, and it didn't. The Panthers did not get that, and we're going to talk about them in a second, too, about where they're at right now, also with the whole trade thing with Calgary kind of thing, but I don't know. We talk about this every week. What's wrong with them? We're waiting. I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't.
When we were putting this show together and we're looking back at the calendar year, so again, 2022, not the season, but the calendar year, and then I came across the fact that they had more points than any other team in the NHL. It was not a gut punch. That's not it. It was a bit of not a shock or a surprise, because as soon as I saw it, I remembered it. But that just seems so far away now. Because they're not even a 500 team, and there's still, I know there's some different pieces in play, but there's also some good ones. And just the fact that they were the President's Trophy winner just literally a few months ago, and now they're struggling so badly, it shows you how quickly you can, you know, not only rise in the NHL, but how quickly you can fall off a cliff. I'm not writing them off again at all. They're actually one of my teams I think we're going to have to look for in the second half, because I think things are going to start to come together. But just they're not going to win the President's Trophy this year. They're going to be battling for a fourth spot in their division and hopefully maybe securing a playoff spot. But that's going to be the best case scenario considering where they are right now.
And we're going to address the in just a second, too, the Florida-Calgary trade, because that was a big trade. So many other storylines, too, in the calendar year. One of them is Edmonton. So many years we've gone, and we talked about this last week when Sam Gagner reached 1,000 points. He was with Edmonton. The fact that he played on 100 other teams in the last 5-6 years, I know that's an exaggeration, but you know what I'm saying.
Give or
take. In order to get to 1,000. But I've always maintained this. I think Edmonton should have been where they're at now, fine, but 4, 5, 6 years ago, even before McDavid, they should have been a lot further ahead at those times than they were before McDavid came in. I think I'm not going to say they're on the cusp. They're not. But if you look at what they've done recently when it comes to the playoffs, they're a lot better than they were all those years ago. And that was one of the storylines, I guess, from last year, too.
They made it to the Final Four. Yeah. I mean, you have to respect that. I mean, they got completely smoked by Colorado 4-0 in that final series. But until then, they made it. They were one of the top four teams once the NHL wrapped up, right? Yeah. So it was, you have to, and I think that was a big McDavid showing us that this is a possible thing, and whether they're going to be able to do it this year, I'm not so sure. I think they really miss Evander Kane right now. And I think he was a big reason they enjoyed that playoff success.
Absolutely.
But I think that was a big, not giving us the middle finger type of thing, but basically, see, we can do it. We can finish and we can be there at the end in the conference finals. And I think they want to be ready to take the next step. I'm not sure about the defense still. I think they're starting to look a little bit better. I don't think Draisaitl, who's been actually hurt in the last couple games, and McDavid can carry this team consistently on their back. That's not fair to ask of anybody. I don't care how good you are or how otherworldly you're playing like McDavid is right now. But they're going to need a little bit more depth, not only scoring depth up front, but also I think they need one key figure on that blue line. And I will be absolutely shocked if Oilers management does not pick somebody up by the March 3rd trade deadline. Because if they're serious about making a big charge through the postseason, they need to. They just can't leave it as is. It is not fine. They need that improvement.
This was a team that finished with 49 wins in the 21-22 campaign. They still need more. They do. Okay, so we talk Edmonton. Now we talk Calgary. That was a big trade between the Flames and the Panthers. Where are the two teams at right now? I've said this for weeks, and I think the gap is increasing. Calgary is doing a lot better than the Panthers. I said for weeks that they mirror each other, just waiting on the two clubs to get going. But if you look at the standings, and interesting too, I was looking at this today, that last year on this day, at this point of the season, 32 games in the Panthers had played, they had 46 points. Calgary had played 30, they had 40 points. You look at the gap now, where they stand now, Calgary has more, Florida does not have as many. Put stock into that, if you will. It's not the point of this. The point of it is, though, the Panthers are taking a long time to get going since that massive trade. That was a huge trade.
Oh, it was the trade of the summer. I mean, that was the talking point of the summer, along with the Gaudreau signing in Columbus. But that trade was like, that was exciting. It was an exciting hockey trade when you're sending Matthew Tkachuk one way, you're getting Jonathan Huberdeau the other way, and Mackenzie Weegar as well. It was huge. And I think we all expected both teams to benefit a little bit more quicker from their new acquisitions than they did, and or that they have, because it's been not great. The Flames are now winning some hockey games, but if you look at who they've played, it's been stinking California teams and the Kraken. They've been playing teams that they should beat, and they have been beating them, and that's what you need to do. I like where the Flames are right now, partially because if they play in the Pacific Division, that has some, you know, they're not garbage teams, but they're not great teams, and there's more than that, whereas Florida has to deal with a very, very, very tough division in the East, where the competition, I think, is a lot stiffer. Having said that, I still look at this Panthers team. I still look at Paul Maurice behind the bench. I still look at what their goaltending tandem. And I think about Anthony Duclair coming back in the foreseeable future, who I think is going to provide a big boost. I think the chemistry is going to be there. They have this coming up this week. The Panthers, Florida, have Coyotes, Wings, and Stars. Stars are tough. Those are those first two games they need to win. They got to get back on the horse here, and they've got to prove that they are a player, and they've got to start. They're the team I am watching in the second half in the East. We've got the haves, your Bostons, your Carolinas, your Rangers, your Leafs, Tampa Bays. And we have our have-nots, and I think they're going to be a have by the time that we're talking about April. It's going to be tough, but I think they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot at the end. I really, really do.
Amazing, though, with what you just said. The President's Trophy winning team from 21-22 fighting for a playoff spot. I agree with you.
They're in a hole. They have to make up the math.
Right. And the teams in the Atlantic, Boston, Tampa, Toronto. I mean, Detroit's still playing well. Do we think that's sustainable? Probably not.
Ryan, Buffalo is winning hockey games.
Yeah.
Like, so right regularly.
I know. Pardon? Say that again? Excuse me? That's good.
I've been
going to Buffalo. I'm like, come on, Buffalo. I want you to play well. Detroit, same thing. Let's go. I know you've got the talent. It's going to happen at some point. But I'll agree with you. The Panthers, I think, will fight for a playoff spot by the time.
They're too talented. They're too talented to make a huge mess of the season.
You know what the issues is, too? Yeah, one of the issues is I don't think a lot of their identity was lost when that trade happened. Jonathan Huberdeau and Weegar, but more specifically Huberdeau, I really do think a lot of the identity was lost.
But they have Matthew Tkachuk now, and they have to develop a new identity with Matthew Tkachuk, and they got to figure it out. So, and I do think they will. And I think the Flames are going to be a contender as well. I don't believe in LA. I'm sorry. I just don't. I'd like to. When you're in the top half of your division and you still have a goal differential in the negative, I think you've been very fortunate. I think they've been a very lucky team. I still don't think they have the firepower up front. So if I'm looking at the Pacific right now, I like the Flames in there instead of Los Angeles, along with Vegas and Edmonton.
Right. Some of the other ones too, we can go on and on and on. Some of the stories, congrats to Ovi, of course, getting 800, tying Gordie Howe, passing Gordie Howe. And he's going to get to Gretzky at some point, I think, in the season and a half. So many storylines. We can go on and on, but we won't. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll look back to the week that was. It was a shorter week, of course, because the NHL came back on Tuesday after break. And then don't forget, coming up later on, we'll talk Fantasy 7. Vic's got her Fantasy 7 ready to go. We'll look to the week to come, and we'll debut a brand new segment. Don't miss that one. Ryan Payne, Victoria Maniash, Pucks and 7. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
I am, in fact, Victoria Matiash, and sitting across from me is indeed Ryan Payton, and this is definitely for sure Pucks and 7.
We just looked.
Yeah,
we just looked. We may not get many things right, but we have that correct.
This is Pucks and Seven. I can tell you that for certainty. We just looked at the year that was, and that's a special segment we're just doing as a one-off instead of because we're in the new year and we wanted to acknowledge 2022. But that was an offshoot, and now we're going to get back to our regularly scheduled programming and look at the week that was. And that's we do this every single week, and it was a short week, but it was an entertaining week. And I think one of the highlights, if you're going to look at one particular game, was the banger between Rangers and Tampa Bay on Thursday when Shesterkin and Vasilevsky combined for 188 saves. Okay, it's not quite that, but it was a lot. They were both outstanding. Both teams were playing great, but the goaltending was outstanding. They finished the first and second star, and it was neat to see two of the best in the business be at their best. And for those of us who like the lower scoring games, I do.
Yeah.
Not everybody does, but I thought it was thoroughly entertaining.
I like the lower scoring games when you have goalies who put on shows like that. I will take a low scoring game like that. I will not take a low scoring, boring hockey game whatsoever. But when you have Shesterkin and Vasilevsky. So the question, let me just throw this at you right now. If you were having a game seven, forget about Vasilevsky's, by the way, game clinching record when it comes to playoff wins, forget about that. But if I were to say to you, okay, Igor Shesterkin or Andrei Vasilevsky in a game seven, who would you take? Go.
Vasilevsky quick. In game seven, because he's done it.
But that's what I say. Forget about all that stuff.
I can't. But I'll tell you this now.
Okay.
I was starting a franchise.
Okay. Okay.
Right now. Right. That would be a much more complicated decision for me, and Shesterkin would get a lot of consideration. But right now, I can't forget the fact that he's won Stanley Cups. I can't. And Shesterkin hasn't. But just also let's just say the experience in general. He's just more experienced goaltender. Yeah. So I would go with Vazzy in a game seven right now. But I don't know if my answer would be the same thing 3 or 4 years from now, which is why the franchise building question might be answered a little differently.
Shesterkin, who they ended up losing that game because it went to six rounds in the shootout. So, I mean, the fact that both of these goalies were left standing after that amazing treat that they put on for all the fans that either watched or were in the stadium watching it. But I saw that Shesterkin, I believe, stopped about 23 high danger chances. I think there's a lot to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people talk about that as much as they should, but you can save, you know, say at the end of the night, you have 45 saves. One of the stories is, oh my goodness, you know, Igor Shesterkin made 45 saves, but how many of those saves were, for example, the high danger? But when you have 23 of those saves being high danger chances against a team like Tampa Bay with all the firepower that they have.
It is impressive. We're not going to do a deep dive on analytics here, funny. There are some goaltenders out there, and Marc-Andre Fleury comes to mind. I'm really hoping I'm not screwing this up because the numbers aren't in front of me, but some actually do better with more high danger chance shots.
Oh, sure.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
And I believe Fleury is one of them. And if not, I'm apologizing to the analytics community at large, but it is still impressive. The fact that, you know, if it's all low danger chances, and I could be in net and I could still give it a pretty good go, is not nearly as impressive as when you're playing the opposite, right?
No, I agree with that. And that to me is the stat at the end of the season or at the end of someone's career. If you look at that save percentage, goals against, fine, but the high danger saves is what makes you a really good goaltender. If you were a coach and your goalie let in 9 goals or say 6, would you pull him after 6? Maybe 7? Would you pull him? How about 8? Maybe 9? Thank goodness the game ended. I'm sorry. I don't care who you have on the bench. If I or you were on the bench in Montreal with the Canadiens, you don't leave someone in for 9 goals. I'm sorry, you don't. Unless you have nobody to come in, you don't leave anyone in for 9.
So what was the final score in that against the Capitals? Was it 9-2?
9-2.
9-2. And Ovechkin had a hat trick.
Yes.
And it was a disaster from the get-go.
Yes.
On top of everything else, it was the annual mom's trip to Washington.
Right.
So all the moms were in the house.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if Jake Allen's mother was there or not. I hope not. Before piling on Martin St-Louis for leaving Jake Allen in there for all 9 goals, which was ridiculous. I don't think there's much discussion there. He actually was relatively contrite after the game and said he screwed up. He basically said that he's a young coach. He's figuring it out.
Hold on. How can you screw that up if you're a young coach? Okay, you and I don't know if you've coached. I haven't. But to me, if it gets to 6 or 7, you don't need to go to coaching school or you don't need to coach Pee Wee or anything like that.
School.
I don't know. Does that exist? You don't need to do that. in order to think, you know what, maybe I should pull my goalie.
He admits to being a little overwhelmed by the situation. And he actually brought up the fact that it was the mom's trip. And he said this was supposed to be a happy event and he didn't want to make it ugly. And he's like, okay, he's going to get it together after five. He's going to get it together after six. And then he said, it's at the end of the game now. He's let in seven. Am I pulling him now? I agree. The answer is still yes. I think the answer is still yes. But it was, to give Martin credit, he owned it. He basically said this wasn't going to happen again. I'm sure him and his goaltender had a heart-to-heart privately afterwards where some apology was exchanged. Mm-hmm. And we'll just call it a learning. What the extra salt in the wound following that one was hilarious. There's this shot of all the moms wearing their Canadiens gear, right, taking a picture with Alex Ovechkin.
I know.
The star of the game.
It was an awful night. The only thing that was different, or the only thing that's kind of, we wouldn't be talking about more, is Jake Allen didn't go to Montreal management and demand, that's the last game I've ever played for Montreal.
Alain
Patrick Roy. Years ago.
Anyway, more thing about Montreal, and this is why I think maybe we can just look past Jake Allen's performance in it. And I actually wrote about this ahead of that game.
Yep.
Four of the six defensemen starting that game for Montreal had a combined total of 120 games of experience in the NHL. That is insanely low.
Yeah, that
120
is.
Games combination for four, the rookies, right? They're basically rookie defensemen. So these are inexperienced guys because they have a couple of key injuries. David Savard is one of them. And the other two defenders who are more experienced are basic part-timers, Joel Edmondson and Chris Weidman. So they just don't have the blue line right now to compete. They're letting in buckets of goals left, right, and center. I don't know what Montreal does, but I think they're going to lose a lot of games in the next little while.
Sorry, Martin St. Louis, I loved you when you were a player. I really did. And I think what you did when you came in Montreal to replace Dominique Ducharme was great, but I own it, but come on, you got to be smarter than that. What did you make of the JT Miller thing and Colin Delia?
Speaking of goaltenders being abused.
Right.
So basically, JT Miller started yelling at his own goalie on the ice for not leaving the net to provide for the extra skater when Vancouver was trying to fight back in this game this past week. And he's yelling and he's screaming, and you could even, if you could read lips, you probably don't want to. And then he came to the back of the net. He actually even hammered his stick on the net, telling him to get out of there. And I didn't make much of it, to be perfectly honest, because JT Miller is a leader on that team. He's being paid very handsomely to play for the Vancouver Canucks. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be somebody who to keep it together. And he's basically berating in front of everybody a third string goaltender, and who has played three games for the Canucks this season? It's three or four games, something like that.
Slim to none. Yeah.
Slim to none. And I thought it was inexcusable behavior. I hope another apology was exchanged at the end of that, because that's not, you can't act like that. I don't care. You want him out of the net, you figure out a way. He's looking to the coach for the sign to leave his net. You can see him and he didn't get it. So you don't get berated for that.
You don't. And two things, well, a bunch of things, but Bruce Boudreau, after the next day in practice, I think he was asked, and he said it was on him. He said it was on Bruce. Bruce said, I was trying to communicate. Here's Delia in net. We couldn't, whatever, make eye contact, all that stuff. And if you watch the play, it was about 58 seconds ago, something like that, against Winnipeg. And Miller had the puck. And if you watch it again, if I was the goalie, even if my coach said, come on, I don't think I would have left. Because it doesn't matter if JT Miller has the puck. There was a Winnipeg Jet player very close to him in his vicinity, immediate vicinity. Who knows if Miller blows a tire, if he loses, whatever.
So you could just get stripped. Sure.
Yeah, don't do that. I agree with you. It was embarrassing. And then Miller after said, oh, all you guys are making something of this. It's nothing. Well, you know what? It is something, actually, to be honest with you. And then he looked down the bench when he got to the bench after, because Winnipeg ended up scoring into the empty net. He looked down the bench and I don't know if he yelled, but he glared at the goal. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's not his fault. So
it's not. Be a grown up, and you have to be better than that. That's no way to behave. And you want to lose the faith of your teammates. You can't send them up the river like that.
No,
I didn't like it at all.
And there's too much happening, Vic, as you know. There's been too much happening in Vancouver for
all
the wrong reasons.
They're broken. Yeah. I think Bruce Boudreau is going to be, I think he's going to suffer for it, and it's not necessarily his fault, but you can't fire the whole team. But that team is, with all the talk of trading Bo Horvat and Brock Besser and just the rest of it, I just think that team is a mess. They're not making the postseason. They might as well just clean it all up and look forward to next year and figure out what direction they want to take.
Really happy to see Buffalo doing what they're doing. We talked a bit about them already, but it's so nice to see that. I've said this time and time again on this show. Detroit and Buffalo kind of, to me, are trending in that direction, kind of similar in their paths. And for the Sabres to do what they've been doing, they have a lot of talent on the team. They've gone through so much in the last few seasons. It's nice to see what's happening in Buffalo.
It's been what they've gone through in the last 2 weeks. I mean, they were off the ice for nearly because of the storm. They couldn't practice. They couldn't see each other. They couldn't travel to play games. They couldn't play competition in their own city. They couldn't do any of it. And I was worried about how they were going to react when they came, just because it was such a long leg. Yeah. And just psychologically, what does that do to you as well? And they came back and they won two in a row, including Saturday's matinee against Boston is one of the best games I've seen in a while. I watched it from top to tail. I watched the entire thing. And Buffalo just coming back. Boston would get a one-goal lead. Then they come back and tie. And eventually went to overtime. And the Sabres won. So Buffalo's streak of not losing in regulation remains intact. But they've never lost in regulation at home, which is bananas in its own right. But the fact that the Sabres gave them such, they never gave up on that game and they ended up winning it in overtime. And I know they lost on Sunday to Ottawa, but that's fine. The Saturday game was so incredible and they kept pace with one of the best teams in the league. They're proving that they can play with the big boys, even with the young defense. I don't think they're a playoff team this year. I think they're probably going to be a playoff team next year just because of the competition around them more than any other reason. But it's fun to watch what's happening going on in that city with their hockey team because Sabres fans deserve it.
I know you'll get the answer to this because of what we're just talking about, the team we're talking about. But if I were to ask you, say we didn't talk about Buffalo. If I were to say, who's the team that leads the NHL in scoring per game? It's the Buffalo Sabres.
Is it really?
3.91 goals per game. Boston, 3.78. Edmonton, 3.58. How about that? It's almost four goals per game. And they're beating other teams like Tampa and Toronto and all these other teams. It's amazing.
It doesn't speak that well to their goaltending, though. That's the only problem.
No, I know. I'm trying to be positive here.
They're scoring so much, okay. and they're still not in a playoff position.
Vic puts this negative slant very quickly.
I'm just talking real, man. Talking real.
We do love you, Buffalo. We do. Carolina, unbeatable. They going to lose that anytime soon or what?
No, they're never losing again.
No,
not in regulation. I don't even know what the point streak is at now. So they've won 11 in a row. Yep. They won 11 in a row. But when you bring in the overtime losses as well, their point streak is ridiculous now. And their number one goaltender still hasn't returned for that team. And they're getting Max Pacioretty in the second half of the season. I just don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Carolina, but they look very much unbeatable now. Jersey gave them a really good go over the weekend.
It
was one of their better games that we had seen from Jersey in a while, and they still hung on to win it. So,
17 straight games with a point.
Is that
17? 17 straight. Yeah, 17 straight. And you know, it's interesting, somebody in this weird, you know, statistical bucket that that happens in the NHL, 14th time in 40 years that a team records a run of that length and first since the Avalanche last season. The Avs went 19 games with at least a point last season, 17-0-2. So Canes need two more, and there's no reason to think that they're not going to do that.
Well, they got a tough one at the Rangers this week. That's the one that... week, Carolina plays the Rangers, the Predators, and the Jackets. Rangers are tough. Predators can be tough. They'll beat the Jackets. So if they can get past New York, we're almost looking at maybe three more wins in a row there, especially if the Preds aren't at their best. But New York is going to be tough. New York is playing some good hockey right now.
It's going to end at some point, but it's really fun to watch. And this is no surprise. Carolina's been a very, very good hockey team for the last few years. Like Colorado, we talked about that off the top of the show. Minnesota's playing well. We've mentioned Minnesota a number of times on this show.
Doesn't get enough attention, though. Just in the hockey world in general, the Wild don't get enough attention. Right now, they've got great defense. They've got great goaltending with both Gustafsson and Marc-Andre Fleury. Their depth scoring is great. They have so much balanced story. I know we always talk about Zuccarello and Kirill Kaprizov and all that. Right. But they have depth scoring as well. Everybody's pitching in. They play hockey the right way. They're 8-2, and they're climbing and climbing and climbing. And I really wonder if we're not going to see them at the top of the Central Division by the time it's all over and done with, if they overtake Winnipeg and they overtake Dallas, because I think they're very capable. They're built to win games. Maybe not always in such a sexy fashion, but they win games, and that's what matters.
Yeah, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you win. It's as long as you win at the end of the day. And Minnesota, to me, was one of those teams that I was hoping would, you know, I'm a big fan of Marc-Andre Fleury. I was upset that Cam Talbot didn't get a chance, and, you know, Fleury was signed last year, or he was acquired by them, and then they ended up re-signing him. So Talbot had to go to Ottawa, all that type of stuff. But at the end of the day, I think Fleury's great. But it's going to, these divisions, and we'll talk about this as we go on this podcast over the next few months, these divisions are getting very, very intriguing. Top four, top five, top six in some of these divisions as well. One team, though, just quick before we hit the break, Seattle. Are we surprised that they're kind of going back down to the team? Okay.
No.
Okay, we'll take a break. No, I'm just kidding.
That game against the Oilers, that was really ugly.
Yeah.
That was not good.
Their penalty kill was ugly. Their PK was awful. I know.
But they have the second worst penalty kill. Maybe it's the worst now after that game, but their penalty kill was second worst ahead of that game in the league, and they're playing the number one power play. So basically the arithmetic doesn't work in their favor as is.
Right.
And then, but just even, again, I watched that game and not to the very end because it became boring.
It was pretty evident what was happening.
There wasn't much nail biting happened in the third period. And it was one team was so clearly better than the other. And McDavid was playing, and this was even without Draisaitl. I mean, they were just so much better than the Kraken. It was really not nice to watch. And I think that's more what this team is. I think they're going to win some games. They're going to entertain their fans here and there. Matty Beniers is going to be a star. I'd like to see what they do with Shane Wright after the World Junior. That's a conversation for another day.
Big story.
That's a big conversation they need to have.
Huge.
We're going to send him back to Junior. Like, I don't know. But anyway, I digress. I think Seattle's going to be on the outside looking in the Pacific by the time this all wraps up. And I think that's fine. I think that's fine.
They're
in the second year of their franchise. Like, give them a minute.
Yeah, you're not Vegas. There is no team that's going to be Vegas ever again.
Never again. They fixed that.
You mentioned the PK. Seattle, 68.5, second worst. And guess
what? Second worst.
Yeah, and get the team that has the worst PK in the league. It's a team we've talked about already. And JT Miller plays on that team. I'll leave it at that. Just another not so good thing when it comes to Vancouver.
Nope.
We're almost at that time, Vic. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to debut a brand new segment, again, reflective on a career of a former hockey player. Yeah, stay tuned. So not the Klinkhammer, something new. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matyash, Pucks in 7. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matyash.
This is Pucks in 7. Welcome back. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matyash. You can follow us on Twitter at RyanPayne75, at Victoria Matyash. And we are available wherever you get your podcasts. iHeart, Spotify, Amazon, Google, Apple. Also on the SiriusXM app, Stitcher, and Pandora. So as Vic likes to say, just Google us and more than likely you will find us. A lot of times you Google players that you may remember, that you may forget in the National Hockey League, not just the NHL, but also hockey in general. With that in mind, we're not going to drop the Klinkhammer this week. We're shelving the Klinkhammer in honor of Robert Klinkhammer, but we're going to make some predictions.
Boho knows or Bohan yes.
So this is in honor of the one and only Lonnie Bohannes, Lonnie W. Bohannes. Former hockey player, played most notably for the Canucks, this is what the bio says, in the NHL. But he played a lot of games for Toronto. And when he played for Toronto, he turned heads, turned our, turned mine, turned yours kind of thing. And what we're going to do is just going to take some things and we're going to predict.
We're going to make some predictions.
You can take it from here.
But if you think that this is ridiculous, you are correct. It is. So we're basically butchering Lonnie Bohannes' name and answering some questions. Will this happen in the NHL? Bohan yes or Bohan no's? Is everybody, we're all on the same page here? All right.
Yes. You know what? That was really good.
I loved him when he played in Toronto. So this is like, flattering in honor of. Like, we're not, right? So
yeah. No, I did too. And it's not like we have to get into Lonnie Bohannes too often, but he was undrafted and he did make his debut in 95-96 with Vancouver, played three games, but in Toronto played six and he had 6 points, Vic, in 97-98 and then 3 points in 98-99. Anyway, we're going to look at some predictions for 2023. Okay, so Connor McDavid. Well, he's doing what Connor McDavid does. So here's the thing. Reaches 100 points by trade deadline, Valentine's. What do we think?
Okay, so does McDavid reach 100 points? So he's at 72 right now.
Yep.
Does he reach 100 points by the trade deadline? I'm going to say Bohan yes. he does, because that only means he needs 28 points in 24 games. He is absolutely obliterating that pace right now. I can't see him fall off it too much. I think he's going to fall back on the clip a little bit, because just it's a little ridiculous. It's a little bit much to ask for almost 2 points a game moving right. forward and keeping up with that. People get tired. But in general, I think by March 3rd, 24 games, can he get 28 points in 24 games? Do we have a 100-point player by the trade deadline? Is it McDavid? Bahan, yes.
I will say Bahan, yes, because of who he is. I got it out. So here's another take on that, too. He's at 32 goals in 38 games, so the 72 points. Will he hit 50 goals by the time the season is done? Will
18,
he hit 50?
He needs 18.
He
That's
needs
it.
28. Oh, 18.
He needs 18.
18 to hit. I think
I think 18 is Bahan, yes, for sure. Think it's the 60 goals is the 60. Real question. And I think that's going to be a Bahan nos, just because I think he's still going to earn more assists. There's other people on that team. If Evander Kane comes back, we're going to put the puck in the net. Right. I don't think we're going to see 60 goals from McDavid. He's going to obliterate 100 points. He's going to get 50 goals. And that's where I'm sitting there.
If you do 18 and 32 as well, he'll get to 50 by game 70. So it is a credible possibility that he's going to do that. All right. Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane. Gone by the trade deadline. Bahan, yes. Bahan, no.
Bahan, yes, without any question, because not doing that doesn't make any sense. Patrick Kane is going to be a Ranger by the trade deadline. I don't know where Jonathan Toews goes.
Well, hold on. You said Patrick Kane's going to be a Ranger.
Yeah, sure, why not? I think that's exciting.
Do you have any intel? Okay.
Well, I think they need help on the right side, and I think that's what he does. So they've tried Lafreniere on the right side. We're not going to get into Alexis Lafreniere and how that's just going down the sewer in the Rangers. Let's save that for another day, because I really do want to do a deep dive on that.
Yeah, me too.
Not
me
right
too.
Now. No. So, but I think Patrick Kane, I think he would waive his no movement clause to go to the Rangers for all the different reasons, in terms of like, you're in New York City, you have a chance to play for a cup. I think it's the temptation would be there, and the Rangers are in a position to drive for a Stanley Cup, and Patrick Kane is definitely going to help any team do that. There's no reason for Chicago to keep these two players. Zero. They're on expiring contracts. Who knows what happens in the summer anyways. You have to prove to I've been on this all season. Mm-hmm. You have to prove to your fans that you are serious about this rebuild. You have to start bringing in assets now and give them a reason to pay attention to the hockey team, because right now they have 8 wins. 8 wins. Yep. There's no reason to watch this team as it is currently constructed. It's depressing, but at least if you have something to look forward to, it's a spark.
Chicago's in a good spot, though, specifically because they still have Kane and Toews. And I really do hope, and I think I said this to you a few weeks back on one of the podcasts we did, I hope that they've talked to both of them and they've said, look, we're going to hold on to you till the deadline, because we want to make sure teams will be calling that may not be in a spot now that they would be in a month and a half, to possibly entertain the idea of getting involved in a trade that sees Kane or Toews. I don't think they're both going the same place, but you know what I'm saying? Entertaining a deal that will involve one either Kane or one of Toews as well. So I think Chicago's in a good spot. So I will say Bahan, yes, absolutely gone. If they're still members of the Hawks after the deadline, that is an absolute disgrace. It's a shame, but it's not going to happen. It won't. Erik Karlsson, 100 points. He is 53 and 39 right now. Bahan, yes. Bahan, knows.
I'm going to say Bahan, knows. Nos on this one, and I will tell you why. Mm-hmm. First of all, what he's accomplished so far, especially this streak right now that he's on, it's just every game it seems that he's putting up a couple of points. I think he gets moved. I think somehow, and I know it would be difficult for the San Jose Sharks to move him, because that would be, they'd have to retain a little bit of salary, and then they're only allowed to retain on one more transaction. There's all these little complicating factors in there. Another team would have to want to make a commitment to somebody for $11.5 million or whatever percentage of that, because nobody's going to do that. No. But I just think San Jose is in a position to move him now for some assets. He would be a great asset to another contending team, and then they can look forward past that. And I think on another team, he plays, especially a contending team, he plays more of a supporting role. So he's not going to be the one-man show that he almost, other than Timo Meier, is in San Jose right now. So that's the only reason I say Bahan knows to Karlsson getting 100 points. And I know he's on pace for it, but I see him more in the 90 in the field of 90, 85 to 90 by the time this is all said and done. But I would like to see it. I'd like him to. Yeah. I just don't think he, I don't think he does it.
I also want to preface my answer with that we don't have to disagree. Like, we're not doing this to disagree. It's you know, we, because I'm going to agree with you again. So we're agreeing on everything we've done so far.
Well, that, we can't lie. I mean, you and I are truth tellers. Like, we can't lie. So if we agree, we agree.
Right. So he has 53 and 39. Mm. So he's 47 away from 100 points. 43 games, providing that, you know, he's healthy and everything goes well, all that stuff. So that would be 82 games. So he needs 47 points in 43 games. It's doable. He's on, he's 53 and 39. It's doable.
But
it's not going to happen.
No, see, and so you're behind those two.
I'm behind those two. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen just because, and I do the whole trade thing. We can talk about that some other time, but there is a lot of not complications, but there's a lot of things happening with that deal. So I'm going to say Baja knows that he does not get to 100. Would be nice to see that, because it's been a while. In fact, since the last 100 point, I actually had this. Brian Leetch, last defenseman. Yotsi had 96 last season. Brian Leetch, 102 points with the Rangers, 91-92. So that's the last time.
It would be neat with Carlson as well, because he has been in decline. Like, he was such a superstar back in the day when he's, you know, winning Norris's and all the rest of it. And then he's just really sunk. And just to see, it just, it proves, like, the old guys, and he's not even that old, but the old guys, still, they still got it. They can still turn it around. It gives everybody a little bit of hope. So it's a good story.
I like it. Ryan O'Reilly, Vladdy Tarasenko. Traded. Deadline, Baja yes, Baja knows.
Okay, when we should preface this before we get to it, because we just learned this morning that both of them are going on IR. Okay, uh-huh. And they're both going on for several weeks. I think it's 4 for Tarasenko and 6 minimum for O'Reilly.
Yeah, and in Riley's foot, Tarasenko's hand.
That's right. And O'Reilly has a broken foot, so it's not some weird ligament thing. It's just busticated. Yep. And Tarasenko has, I believe, a broken hand or a fractured hand or something.
Hold on. You said that again. You just made my day. Because you said the busticated again, and this wasn't planned. This has been 3-1s in a row. I think you've done, anyway, you've made my day. Carry on.
It's part of my vernacular. I didn't even notice it because anyways, but yes. Okay. He has a broken busticated foot. Uh-huh. And so people said, well, there goes their trade value. I mean, like, why are they not going to get traded before the March 3rd trade deadline now? To which I ask why. It's not like, and so I'm going to say right now, Bahan, yes. Ryan O'Reilly, Bahan, yes, for sure. I'm not sure on Tarasenko, so I'll go Bahan, no, on Tarasenko. But I think Ryan O'Reilly is moot. Both of them are on expiring contracts. Actually, this is really interesting. They both make $7.5 million.
Yeah.
They're both on expiring contracts, and they're both 31 years of age. Now, they're different players completely. They're both forwards, but they're totally different players in terms of one's a sniper goal scorer on the wing. He's that guy. And then you have one of the best two-way forwards in the league in O'Reilly. And I think he's moved. And I don't care that his foot is broken right now, because it's not like anybody needs a scouting report on these guys. We know who they are. They've been in the league for years and years. Yeah. So if you know he's going to be healthy the second week of March, which they're both on track to be, why do you not make that deal? There's no negative part. There's no negative aspect to that. They're just, if anything, they're going to be rested. Think about it. Especially Tarasenko. He can still work out and do a whole bunch. He can skate. He can do whatever he wants. He's got a bad hand. So they're both going to be fresher than ever and ready to go. You're only paying up a portion of their $7.5 million salary, because by the time we're there.
So they're prime candidates.
I don't see how they're not moved.
Yeah, I know.
They're on expiring contracts. Why? Yeah. The Blues can re-sign them again in the offseason if they want to. And that's not happening with Tarasenko. But if O'Reilly wants to go back, he can sign again in the summer. And they're not going to give him an 8-year deal anyway, because he's 31 years old. Anyway.
And Tarasenko too, I believe a couple of years ago, is when there was rumors that he was requesting a trade or he wanted out, but he stuck with St. Louis. And the expiring contract thing makes it easier. And I didn't know that they were both 31.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah, it is. It really is. That doesn't, anyway, coincidental.
And yet they're very different players too, which I also find very interesting. So
it's interesting with the Blues. So I'm going to go with both of them, that more O'Reilly than Tarasenko. But Bohan, yes, I believe that O'Reilly's going to go. I think they're going to hang on to Tarasenko. But you know what, at that same point though, if you know you're not going to re-sign him, if there's, some teams are going to look at the long-term injuries maybe with this thing and think, okay, we're going to shy away from that. But they'll be healthy for a huge stretch run in March, and then April, hopefully May, June, whatever team they go to. But if you're not going to re-sign them, then you got to get something for them, right, in return.
And then you look ahead to the summer. You can do whatever you want. Now, this is also contingent on the fact that I think both of you and I agree that St. Louis is not going to be a playoff contender this year. There's just too much strong competition. This is my view. Because, again, if St. Louis is charging up the Central Division, they're not going to trade these guys. They're going to try and get into the postseason. But they're just not playing very well right now. They've been a little bit better recently. But in general, I think this is one you got to cut bait, man.
They're playing 500 hockey, 17-17, 37 games so far
this season.
No, they're
playing losing hockey. Three of those, they have three overtime losses.
So
they have 20 losses. I hate this point for the losers thing in overtime. I hate it. They have 20 losses and 17 wins.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. It was not good.
Yes, we did.
New Jersey, one of the great stories over the course of the season. Carolina is surging in the Metro. Washington's playing better. The Rangers, watch out. The Penguins, you know, will be there probably hanging around toward the end of the season. Do the Devils make it in to the playoffs?
That
was easy. Moving on.
Not because I don't appreciate what's going on with Lindy Ruff's squad, because I do. Jack Hughes is awesome. I'll watch him any day of the week. I still think they have weaknesses in net. I think they have weaknesses on defense, and I still think they need some secondary scoring. They're not there yet, but mostly because it's mostly Bahanos because of the strength of competition in the Metropolitan. Yeah. Carolina's too good. New York Rangers are too good. Washington is winning more often than they're losing now. Ovechkin's inspired. They're getting two key pieces back with Tom Wilson and Nicklas Backstrom. Right. Washington's going to get better.
Yeah.
And Pittsburgh is a contender. And this is no without even touching on the Islanders, who you can't ignore either. I just think there's too much strength. Again, there's too much strength of competition. Even if they slide five in the Metro, and I don't know how they do that with the strength of the Atlantic either. I think this is going to be a 4-4 scenario, as it has been. I don't see them finishing in the top four. I see them finishing fifth. And so I think they're on the outside looking in.
They have four teams within 5 points of them now: Washington, New York, Pittsburgh, and New York. You mentioned all those teams. Carolina on top by seven as we do this on this Monday. I'm going to say, and you know what? I'm going to go complete reversal from what I said maybe a month and a half ago. I did think the Devils would have had it, but the fact is that this Metro division is changing to what we kind of expected, so I'm going to say Baja knows that they do not make it in to the postseason. That's too bad because it's been a great story, but you know what? Anything can happen. What about Vancouver? It's a mess. I got in trouble, not in trouble, but I said this the other week on Twitter, not that I post a lot. And I was like, oh, hold on a sec. What do you mean they're a mess? Well, they're a mess. They have been a mess.
I don't know who argues that. Like, Canucks fans think they're a mess. Canucks fans are the loudest talking about what a mess their team is.
Yeah.
They're one of the most critical fan bases in all of sports.
Right.
That's a tough place to play, but they are a mess. Yes.
Bruce Boudreaux. Fired by before the end of the season? Bahan yes, Bahan knows.
I'm going to say Bahan yes, and I understand that the Vancouver would be then paying, I think it's three coaches, because they'd have to start paying a new one as well.
Yep.
And they're still paying Travis Green, is my understanding, so they'd be paying lots of people.
Right.
I don't think it's Bruce Boudreaux's fault. I think management has made a big mucky mess of the whole affair. I don't think that they provided that team with the blue line strength that they need to contend, and expectations are that they should have been contending.
Mm-hmm.
They look very unhappy. Bo Horvat looks absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
Pettersson is slamming sticks all over the place. It's not Boudreaux's fault, but you can't fire a team. It's the old cliche. You can't fire 22 players, but you can fire one coach. And even just to bring in a different voice, and it doesn't sound like he gets on with management at all.
No.
So I don't see that relationship lasting the entire season, and I don't think it's necessarily fair.
It is not. I like Bruce. Everybody, from what you know,
who doesn't like? It's like Marc-Andre Fleury. Who doesn't like those guys?
You can't not like them. But I'm with you. It's one of those things where Vancouver, the only way that Vancouver would not let him go is if they realize, which they should have realized months ago, even at training camp. Well, they kind of did, because they basically came out and were like, you know what, we're not ready. We're not prepped and ready to go for this upcoming campaign. But if they all of a sudden start to maybe make a small run, do they think, okay, well, it's not Boudreaux's fault. It's not his fault at all. I'm going to say Bahanios. I think they're going to stick with him. I don't think that he's going to get fired. And with that being said, there's a lot of coaches who may be, you know, look like Columbus. Are they going to fire the head coach? No, they're not. Are they going to fire the one, Luke Richardson, Chicago? No, they're not.
Because they're bad teams.
Right.
You're not going to fire a coach on a bad team. No,
right.
No. Who do you think? So if you don't think Bruce Boudreaux, Who do you think? There's no season we've ever had where a coach doesn't get fired. I mean, a couple people are going to lose their job in the second half. Who do you think it is?
It's funny you say that. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say there's nobody. There's no coach that's going to lose their job.
I
thought about this.
I got two other than Boudreaux.
One?
If Nashville doesn't turn it around in a hard hurry, Hines is out of there.
Okay.
Because that team is supposed to be winning. Okay. And they're not. And the second one, I am worried for DJ Smith's job in Ottawa.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But there was not a ton of expectation for Ottawa.
I think there was more. I think they thought they were going to contend for a playoff spot, and they are not. They're playing better right now.
Right.
But I don't know how lasting that's going to be. I don't know. That's more of a gut thing for me. But he's had his opportunities there. And I was looking at that roster the other day. I was actually watching them play as well simultaneously. And I'm like, the talent on this team is really something else. I think we take it for granted because Ottawa hasn't been great for so long. But you look at what Batherson's doing, the DeBrincat, and their defense, Jake Sanderson, is coming up now. Their goaltending is good.
Love Tim Stützle.
He's a star in the making.
Yeah.
And there's just, they're not getting enough from their bottom six. And I really wonder if that's coaching and not necessarily talent. That's my concern with DJ Smith.
We'll see. We hate to see any coach in any sport lose their job, but of course that's part of the
business. Not true. There's some bad coaches out there that I was like, yay, hurrah, see ya, don't let the door hit your bum on the way out. Not in the NHL, but in other sports. No, I'm fine. They made their money. They're okay.
That was Bahan yes and Bahan no's. That was a lot of fun, actually.
We're not going to do this every week.
No,
we're going to bring out Bahan yes, Bahan no's for special occasions when it's prediction time. And next week, we'll get back to dropping the clink hammer.
Yeah, we'll bring it back next week. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll look ahead to the week to come. Pretty big game coming up outdoors on Monday. And we'll talk Fantasy 7. Vic's got her Fantasy 7 lined up and ready to go. Pucks and 7, Ryan Payton, Victoria Madiash. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Madiash.
All right, show's flying by. Welcome back to Pucks and 7. Ryan Payton, Victoria Madiash. Follow us on Twitter at RyanPayton75, at Victoria Madiash, and you can catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Google us, but also, in case you don't want to spend all that time it takes to find something on Google, it's about a quarter of a second, not even, we're on iHeart, Spotify, Google, Apple, Amazon, SiriusXM app as well, Stitcher, and Pandora. Okay, before we get to the Fantasy 7, which we'll do as we always do to end the podcast, let's take a look to the week to come in the National Hockey League. And Vic, I'm a huge fan. I think a lot of people are. And I don't want to hear anybody anymore, and I know we still will at some point, oh, there's too many outdoor games in the NHL, yada, 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 all this type of stuff, whether it's the Winter Classic, the Heritage, whatever it is, enough. Outdoor games are fun. Monday, Fenway, Boston, Pittsburgh. It's not only for me a game that's outdoors. It's not only a game that's at one of the most historic ballparks and historic, I think, venues or buildings in all the sports, to be quite honest. It is a game that features Hall of Famers. It is a game that features players that are not, I'm not gonna say winding down their careers, but you've got Crosby. He won't be around for 10 more. You got Bergeron. You got Marchand. You got all these other great players, and it's going to be fun, and it's outdoors. So that's the big one Monday.
It is. I mean, I think it is unmiss. You, even if you're sitting on your couch. I've attended one live and in person, and that was a few years back, the Maple Leafs Red Wings at the Big House in Michigan. Yep. And watching a hockey game with over 100,000 other people was the experience of a lifetime. It was absolutely frigid, freezing cold, but we were dressed properly. It was a lot of fun. I'd love to attend another one in person, but in the meanwhile, I'm going to enjoy this one on my couch on Monday afternoon for sure.
We talked about Carolina Hurricanes. We've talked about the New York Rangers. We have discussed the Rangers and Tampa, Vasilevsky, Shesterkin, and the Canes are phenomenal. 17 straight games with at least a point. They won 11 in a row. That's going to be a pretty decent one coming up on Tuesday because New York's also playing well, which we've also mentioned this.
The streak coming to an end for the Hurricanes in this one.
Okay.
I think the Rangers are playing some pretty damn good hockey right now, too. Zibanejad is in his fine form. Kreider's playing well. That top six seems to be all clicking once again. And then again, you've got one of the better goaltenders in the league in the net. And I can't see them not starting Shesterkin against the Canes, because that's the test you want to give him. So if it is going to, if the Canes get past that one, or at least just even lose in overtime, I think they have a good chance of extending their streak, because they have weaker competition coming up. But I think that's going to be a tough one.
So you can say that they're going to lose it. Everything.
Saying for sure. I think there's a chance.
You absolutely are saying that was convincing. Yeah, there's no a chance. It was nope. They're done. Coming to an end.
7-0. They're going to get smoked.
Oh my gosh! Watch out. Yeah. So let's keep the goalie in for how long? Hey, right. Martin St. Louis. Right, right. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Good news for the Capitals, and we've talked about this. So here's the latest on the Caps as we're doing this at this time. Caps back. They host Buffalo. That's Tuesday as well. Nick Backstrom went out of COVID protocol Monday.
Yep.
Returned to practice in a regular full contact jersey. Great news. So that mm-hmm. means he's very close. Tom Wilson continuing to skate in a full contact jersey as well. TJ Oshie skating in a regular full contact jersey. Okay, so hold on a second. So I'm just saying those three players, they're on the verge, and Washington is playing well. All I got to say is watch out.
Washington is already winning hockey games, and now they're going to get three key pieces back in their top six. In their top, all three of those are top six forwards. And Tom Wilson, the intangibles he brings, he's a big jerk face. Nobody, everybody who's not a Capitals fan does not like Tom Wilson. You want this guy on your hockey team.
Every team wants him.
As long as he's not getting suspended, which has been a historical and historically an issue, you want him on your hockey team. He's fierce. He can score. He's tough to play against. He's a bit nasty. He has all of those things. He's a big reason they won the cup when they did. And getting him back in the top six is going to be huge for them. Nicky Backstrom. Now you're going to have another bona fide, you know, top six center. See you later, Strom. And then, of course, TJ Oshie is clutch and scores goals. So, yeah. And they're already winning. Ryan, as we just said, they're already winning.
And Ovechkin just salivating at the fact that Backstrom's going to be.
Can you blame him?
Oh my gosh, you kidding? Yeah. Hey, Nick, you know where I'll be. Send me the puck and I'll score. Off you go. Steven Stamkos, speaking of scoring. So he's 498. Took six games. And then he had the six-game streak ended with finally getting a goal. 498. So he's 2 away. It seems like it's taken months to get to 500. But he's got a grand. And I love how, you know, there's this lineup too. We go back and forth over the course of a couple days before we do this. And we exchange notes and whatever. I love how you put in the lineup. Stamkos could score 8 in Chicago. Never mind 2. I'm laughing because 8's maybe a stretch, but it's quite possible, Vic, that he's going to get at least 2.
The Blackhawks are terrible. Yeah, yeah. They were playing the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are also not very good, on the weekend. I thought, you know what? They got a shot here.
It was the Bedard Bowl.
They got a shot here to make it 9 wins on the season. Of course, they lost. They lost to the Blue Jackets. So Stamkos could score, maybe not 8, but I think he can get a pair. I think he can get a hat trick. So a pair for sure. And so we might finally see 500 against the Blackhawks on Tuesday night.
And if he doesn't, of course, then there's more games to come for Tampa. And one of them is Wednesday, Tampa at Minnesota. The Lightning have that too. So if he doesn't get, you know, even if it's 1, then he may get to 500. If you look at Tampa as well, what would be nice anytime you get that magical mark would be to do it back home. But Tampa's at Winnipeg on Friday. And I believe the next home game for them, well, it probably is the following week then.
It's not. He's not going to need that long. He gets this week. I think he gets 500 this week.
Their next home game is Tuesday, January 10th, and that is at home to Columbus. So if he doesn't get anything against Chicago, you got a great chance to reach that mark, and then some against the Columbus Blue Jackets. All right, Blues Devils. Interesting, this one. We've mentioned St. Louis, Tarasenko, O'Reilly, perhaps in our Bohan Yes and Bohan No segment, of whether they'll be traded by the deadline, and the Devils as well.
Every time you say it.
I know. You know how long I practiced that? We've been wanting to do this for a while. I practiced it. I was up all night and stressed all morning. Okay, Bohan Yes, Bohan No. See, I got that. There we go. Blues Devils, New Jersey. I don't really want to keep thinking about this every week. But my mindset with New Jersey is now every week is even bigger than the week before because of all the other teams playing well. And we just said we agreed that we don't think New Jersey is going to make the playoffs. I know we're a ways away, but still.
This is must win for them. The Blues are losing more often than not. They're a very streaky team. They're a very beatable team. For the Devils, I think this is a must win almost for them. They're at home. They're entertaining the Blues. And if they want to prove us wrong, then they have to start stringing together some wins. And I think that's a good opportunity for them to start.
Islanders and the Flames, the Calgary Flames, they have been playing better hockey as of late, and they're slowly climbing up, I think, the ladder in the Pacific. 5 points back of LA as we do this for second, so they have 43, and Seattle, Edmonton with 42. So again, it's kind of evening out the way we think. Outside of the Kings, you don't seem to think the Kings are going to be there toward the end, but we can talk about that as the season progresses.
But no, you're not. The Flames have beat some not great teams lately, and that's good. Those are the games that they needed to win, and they did. So credit to them. But now they're going to face an Islander squad with probably Sorokin and Net that's playing some decent hockey themselves, and I think it's a much more interesting test. They're at home. So that helps, I believe. And I know the Islanders are traveling this week as well. So that might be a factor also. But I just think that's going to be an interesting hockey game. I think we're going to get a really good opportunity measuring stick-wise of where the Flames really are against stiffer competition after they've had some easier opponents in recent days.
Calgary still needs to score. They still need to score. I know a lot of the discussions.
I think it's going to come.
It's been about Jacob Markstrom. You know, is he going to get on track to what he was in Vancouver? We know that he is an elite goaltender, but if you look at their plus minus, plus two. So they've only scored 117. They've given up 115. So that needs to be bigger. Any success?
Oh, that's not good enough at all.
Right? It's not good enough.
No,
it's not good enough. So that's one. Also, Nashville. We want to talk about them quickly. We've mentioned them a little bit. Speaking of plus minus. They've scored 94, they've given up 107, yet they're one game, 15, 14, and 6. So they're minus 13, and they also are playing coming up on Friday, and they take on the Capitals. So that, to me, based on all the players coming back as well, you probably agree, for the Capitals, that's a massive game toward the end of the week for Nashville.
Latest iteration of the Philip Forsberg Bowl, right? Traded from one side. Probably one of the biggest regrets Washington management had. What was Martin Irat went the other way?
I think.
That's going to be a huge test for Nashville. That's probably my biggest disappointment of the season. I know we've talked about Florida a lot, but Nashville is my biggest disappointment. The way that they are constructed, they should be a contender without question. They're not right now. They again, I mentioned earlier, John Hines might not have a job in the foreseeable future if they do not turn things around. And that's going to be a very stiff test, the way that Washington is playing, for sure. And I think it's going to be a very interesting hockey game.
Yeah, part of that deal, Michael Latta as well.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay. Philip Forsberg.
Right.
So, hey, you know what? I mean, there's a lot of GMs, most of them probably at some point have made some bad deals. Let's just leave it at that.
Was that a George McPhee deal? Do you remember?
I believe it was. I would assume it is. Yeah, I think it would have to be.
We're going to go with we think it is.
Yeah, just leave it at that. Yeah, but we certainly know it was one of David Poyle's deals. So we know that he was involved in that one. Good on him. Before we get to Sunday, and this is a neat thing too, which you're going to get into specifically, Avalanche, Edmonton, Saturday, take your pick. So many different games too. We're still kind of looking at Edmonton, and we're hoping Edmonton is going to play the way that we know that they can play. We'd love to see Calgary, Edmonton, near or at the top of that Pacific by the time the 82nd game is done. The Avalanche as well, it's Colorado. And what we see of Colorado, it's a big test for both teams. When you're looking at the way the season is at this point of the year, you're starting a brand new calendar year, but you know, you're into the last 4 months of the season already, right? So April's going to be by the time the season's done. A lot of these games are huge. They're 2 points. And you can look back at some of these games and think, man, you know what? We could have had one. We didn't get any. That cost us a playoff. So I'm not saying these two teams won't get in there. That's not what I'm saying. But even for Colorado and Edmonton, this is a big test.
And McKinnon is back. That's key.
Yep.
That's huge. Big. Came back over the weekend. And we're going to have McDavid versus McKinnon. It's two of the premier players in the league. And it's also a replay of the conference final from the playoffs last year. So it's just sometimes it's also just I'm going to watch that game because I think it's going to be a fun hockey game. And I think there's a lot. It's not only about getting the 2 points or moving up the standing or getting to overtime. I think it's going to be a good hockey game. I think they're going to both sides are going to be all charged up. It's Saturday night. And I think it's going to be extremely entertaining.
You do some, again, great work for, well, anything you do. A lot of research is put into the ESPN stuff and all that type of thing. But you found out something really intriguing about not just one game on Sunday, but you found out some intriguing things about the whole slate on Sunday.
I can't remember coming across this season so far, and it does feel like a real rarity to me. There are 8 games scheduled on Sunday, and every single game, all 8 of them feature a team with a winning record versus a team with a losing record. Every single one. And I can't remember, like, so everything's lopsided on paper. Yep. Of course, we're going to have a couple of upsets because that's always how it works. But on paper, there are 8 clear favorites playing 8 clear dogs, if you want to speak in gambling terms, because just the difference in winning record versus losing record, I think it's absolutely fascinating.
You got Vancouver and Winnipeg, Panthers and Stars, Columbus and Washington. That could be 9-0 after the first. Pittsburgh and Arizona, Calgary at Chicago, the Blues in Minnesota, Toronto at Philly, Boston at Anaheim.
Isn't it wild?
That is strange.
It's and wild.
We talked about this before. We're doing this now, but when you just said that again, I can't even remember even looking at a schedule and thinking that at some point over the course of a day, and sometimes maybe 2 games, right? Sometimes Sundays over the years, there's been 2 games or even 3, whatever. But to have this amount of games on one day with a team with a winning against a losing record. So, anyway.
And what's interesting about that, we don't talk much gambling on the show, and that's intentional.
No.
There's enough other people that do that, and that's great.
Right.
But if you're somebody who bets a couple of pennies here and there on sports, you look at that slate and you pick a couple of dogs you like. That's to me that's how you handle that. You pick what are the 1 or 2 upsets on that day, and I think that's who you back, right? Because it's so lopsided, right?
And there's going to be some upsets.
Of course.
There's going to be some. It happens. All right, Fantasy 7, who are your 7 this week?
We've got Philip Deneau in Los Angeles right now. He's playing on the line with Alex Iafallo. They're just scoring. Deneau gets like this. He goes on these streaks.
He goes on runs. Yeah.
He absolutely does. So you have to strike while the iron is hot. The iron is hot right now for Deneau in LA. No, Emil Bäckström. I don't want everybody to start freaking out. He's just scored in a couple games in a row. He's a prospect. He's with Columbus. But he scored for Columbus in a couple games in a row. And what's more interesting about him, if you're a Dynasty League player or a Keeper League player, he is absolutely lighting it up in the AHL right now. He's 4th in scoring. That's obviously indicative of something. So whether he sticks around in Columbus long-term or not, just think about him looking forward. That's Bäckström in Columbus. Scott Laughton's on a tear right now in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. He's very Deneau-like in that he's hot. When he's cold. Right now he's hot. Toronto, Ryan, with the Maple Leafs. Who's having a good time right now?
Cali is having a good time.
Cali Yonkroke is having a good time with Toronto right now, playing in that top 6 more often than not, and he is a delectable fantasy pickup at present. Lawson Crouse is, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, just quick on him. He's not
I like
word,
him.
He's in deceiving is not the right word. I'm trying to get the word, but
I think deceiving works. I know what you mean.
Yeah, because some nights you think, oh wow, he did that kind of thing, because you see glimpses of it. And anyway, I was just thinking about that as you were mentioning his name.
I like his style of play as well. He's not a rough and tumble guy, but he's got a little bit, I think sandpaper is the cliched word that the hockey
plays with
around.
Yeah, he plays
with a little bit of an edge. And I think he's exactly what Toronto needed. And now we're seeing, when Toronto acquired him, we're seeing what he is, but he's putting up some points.
Right.
So for fantasy, that's to be considered. Lawson Crouse with Arizona, he's scoring right now. Just think about him as a short-term asset. Eric Gustafson. Now, I talked about Eric Gustafson last week, and I think I even did the week before. So, Victoria, why are you being so repetitive? Because he is still under-rostered in ESPN.com leagues, like horrifically. Horrifically under-rostered. And with John Carlson out long-term with that awful face injury, you have him anchoring a power play that's now also going to have Tom Wilson on it in a foreseeable future.
Yep.
It's just going to be wild in Washington. Please pick up Eric Gustafson. He's available in like 80% of ESPN.com leagues. I think that's absolutely criminal. And then in net, and I didn't just pick him because I like saying his name, but Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is having a time
in
Buffalo.
You say it so well.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. It's so much fun. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. It's just awesome. He's having a time right now in Buffalo. He's playing really well. He's getting more starts than not. And if you're desperate for goaltending help with your fantasy roster at present, I would advise that you give him a second thought.
Last 5 starts allowed only 13 goals. Goals against a 2.6.
I watched him in Boston on the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
Yeah. And you know what? If you're sold, and for him to do what he did to make people look at him against a team like Boston, that's a pretty good thing. And so Ukkapekka Luukkonen, UPL. I'll just do UPL from now on. I'll let you handle the rest of that. All right, we're out of time. Been a lot of fun. Pucks and Seven, don't forget, folks. First of all, appreciate the listen. And we're available wherever you get your podcasts, iHeart, Spotify, Amazon, Google, Apple. Also on the SiriusXM app, Stitcher, Pandora. On behalf of Victoria, Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, appreciate the listen, and we'll be back next week for another edition of Pucks in 7.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.